Drive Time on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Zurich. For pensions, protection, savings and investments. At Zurich, we deal in peace of mind.
A plan to allow primary teachers to work in second level schools is one of a number of options under consideration, it seems, by the Department of Education officials as a way of tackling staff shortages in classrooms around the country. Teacher shortages, as you know, is one of the biggest issues facing the education sector, with official reports showing that many secondary schools are struggling to find teachers for various positions. For reaction, I'm joined by John Boyle, who's General Secretary of the INTO. John, you're very welcome. Fáil tú chuig an gclór.
Go raibh go Cormac.
Is this a runner?
I'm taking this with a pinch of salt, Cormac. You know, we have 2,767 teacher shortages in primary schools this year. 29% of schools couldn't fill all their posts. We have 750 people that aren't even qualified standing in front of classes. And this has been ongoing for a few years now. This document was produced for the two ministers, 250 pages of briefing from the department officials. Very, very short on ideas in relation to tackling teacher supply. Now, they are talking about trying to sort out the education system by 2050. But from the children of Ireland's point of view, I think it would be much better for them to focus on trying to sort it out.
Well, are they short on ideas? My understanding is that they're nearly 200 pages long, these briefing documents.
Yeah, look, there's obviously the programme for government intends for 1,000 extra special classes in primary by 2030. Class sizes to go down to the European average of 19. We're short 3,000 teachers at the moment, probably short about maybe not an extra 1,000 subs. Mm-hmm. We need 1,000 extra teachers by 2030. So that's 5,000. I mean, if I could predict that there's going to be spare primary teachers, I'd be delighted for them to have gainful employment even in a post-primary school.
But to have the option even. I know in the briefing document, further measures to increase the number of teachers available will need to be considered, they say. One of the ideas, though, that's thrown around is a universal teaching qualification, where you could teach in either primary or second level. I mean, that's kind of similar to what we're discussing here. I mean, would that work?
Well, it does happen in other jurisdictions, Cormac, to be fair, you know, but those jurisdictions have a different primary system to ours. Ours is very much that the teacher in primary covers all the subjects. And it was interesting when the Ukrainian teachers fled the war and arrived in Ireland, the council wouldn't register them for primary because they have too many shortfalls, I suppose, in relation to the way we organise our schools. So if they didn't do it for the Ukrainians, maybe the council won't do it for Irish people who have such a qualification either, you know. Mm. But from our point of view, the one big ask we've had in the last couple of months, and to be fair to the outgoing Minister Foley, she listened 2 years in a row. We got 300 extra students into the colleges of education for the primary sector. Now, they won't sort it out overnight. It takes 4 years to qualify as a teacher. But at least we're planning towards trying to address it by 2030. And I certainly can't envisage a situation where we would have any spare teachers when we're currently short 3,000.
Is it time to have that universal teaching qualification? Because it would be far more appealing, wouldn't it, to the applicant if they knew that the number of schools for which they could apply would almost double, maybe.
Well, obviously there's no difficulty at the moment for primary teachers qualified in Ireland getting work here. The problem is that I suppose the profession was slashed between 2009 and 2015 and it's no longer as attractive. So many of our wonderful teachers are coveted overseas. And it's because in the primary sector, they're specialised. They're working in schools where they can cover all the subjects, all the bases. And that has served our country very well over the decades. So, I mean, universal would give some more choice to them in the sense that at the moment our primary teachers have a choice of working in special schools and they're much highly regarded there. Mm. But in the secondary school sector, and I think you might be speaking to representatives there, they're very short at the moment as well. So
So that's no quick fix either way.
I don't want to see the government robbing Peter to pay Paul.
Can I put one final text to you? Kevin in Kildare texted the programme earlier on. He said, Australia is full of trained teachers who had free third level grants, invoice them, he says, or their parents, and they'll come home pretty quick.
Yeah, thanks be to God, Cormac, that the government has provided a local bargaining aspect to the pay deal, and hopefully by September that'll be resolved. So we've put in a lot of claims to try to attract the teachers back, bearing in mind that the profession was slashed. You don't have any promotional opportunities anymore. You don't get any credit for extra professional development that you do to master's or doctorate level. So we could get those claims over the line with the department.
Okay.
I am confident that a good few of the teachers that were basically thrown out of Ireland in 2009 to 2012.
Well, I mean, the government obviously would reject that.
They will come back.
Reject that. There were exigencies, they would say at the time. But look, entice them back is what you're saying. John Boyle, we will talk again, I'm sure. That's John Boyle of the INTO. We'll talk about if this comes to fruition, this idea at the moment, we will talk again. But now we'll move on to a new concussion advocacy group, which was launched today at Trinity College Dublin. It's aiming to establish unified guidelines for concussion management across sports now, like rugby and GAA and football and boxing. And the group will bring together, they say, researchers and medics and sports people to tackle the long-term impacts of concussive brain injuries and amplify the voices of athletes, they say, as well. I'm joined now by Professor Matthew Campbell, who's head of the department at the Smurfit Institute of Genetics. Professor Matthew Campbell, you're very welcome.
Thanks, Cormac. Thank you very much.
Why the need, do you think, to set up a group like this?
Yeah, so really this initiative is spearheaded by Professor Mick Molloy, who people will remember was the previous doctor for the Irish rugby team, mm-hmm. and who's also an ex-international player as well. And really, Mick came together with my colleague, Professor Colin Doherty, because there's a need there. You know, we're always talking about concussion and concussive brain injuries, how we deal with them acutely, the long-term manifestations that we know associated with repetitive head trauma, like, you know, trauma-associated dementia. But really, sometimes what can happen is that the patient and participant voice is lost. And so the concept here is that this was the inaugural brain health advocacy group. So what we're trying to do and what Mick is really trying to do with ex-participants in elite level sports and also the grassroots amateur sports is to have the patient voice and participant voice represented in any conversation about concussion guidelines.
Will it be difficult to create a kind of a cohesive concussion guideline across multiple sports? Because the impact in rugby versus, let's say, Gaelic games would be different, would it not?
So actually it isn't. So a concussive brain injury, if you get a concussion in rugby is the same as concussion in GAA, is the same as a concussion in any other sport. And believe it or not, Scotland actually have very, very specific concussion guidelines. So this isn't policy change. We're not trying to change policy or change law at this moment in time. Mm-hmm. What we're trying to do is educate the public, educate mums and dads that are standing on the sideline of rugby matches and GAA matches and whatever else, karate and everything else that our kids participate in. If your child gets a concussive brain injury, what do you do? So a lot of parents don't have that. You know, if you tear a calf muscle, for instance, we know the guidelines. There's these very easy to remember things like RICE, you know, rest, ice, compress, mm-hmm. elevate. We don't have that for concussion. And in Scotland, believe it or not, they actually do. So the Scottish authorities came together years and years ago and brought out this concept of, if in doubt, sit them out. Okay. Mm-hmm. And that's basically for the grassroots amateur level sports, that if you suspect a concussive brain injury, you remove the child from the field of play. And we don't currently have that. All the different disciplines have their own ways of managing, which is brilliant. And it's absolutely incredible.
Or no way of knowing. I mean, how do you know? How do you suspect if it is a concussive brain injury?
Well, hence the motto, if in doubt, sit them out. So that concept of if in doubt, that sit them out, has now been rolled out in Scotland and the UK. It's also rolled out in Australia, New Zealand and Indonesia. And we're now proposing to do it here in Ireland because it's so easy to implement. We basically changed the word Scottish guidelines to Irish guidelines. So that's really what we're trying to move here.
Okay. And it's not to alarm parents either or athletes or anything like it. It's to bring them along the conversation and to formulate that type of a policy across the sports. Good to talk to you, I must say. And we'll talk again very soon as this goes on or rolls on. Professor Matthew Campbell, who's head of the department at the Smurfit Institute of Genetics. Thank you very much.